worship service, and I said, I don't know this guy. And then later on, he introduced himself, and I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But that's life. That's life. We're going to talk a little bit about life this morning, too. But two things. I want to say thank you to all who've been praying for my wife, Del, because usually she's with me when, you know, I go out to speak or whatever. And but she had a kind of corrective surgery earlier on this week, and thought it best for her to stay home a little bit to get, you know, get better. Thank God she's been doing much better. Thank you for your prayers. This morning I wanted to present to you a verse that has meant a lot to me over the years. It's not that I want to speak on this verse as such, but I just want you to have it in the back of your mind as we discuss God's words. It's found in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And the reason why I asked you to turn to it, because many of you have known the verse, I'm certain, but it would be good to mark it in your Bible. Mark it, because it will come back. You'll be just leafing through your Bible and you'll see the mark and you'll read it. And once again, it will mean something. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. I want us to just look to the Lord in prayer as we think of his word. Let's pray together. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day, and we continue to just thank you for the privilege of being able to gather freely like this and to discuss your word. Thank you, dear Father, for your word. Again, we pray, dear God, that you'll speak through me. Dear Father, that you'll have something for every single person that is gathered here. Thank you for what your word means to us. May we rest upon it. May we feed upon it. May we gain something from it today that will help us through this life. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Isaiah, no doubt, experienced the peace of God in his life. And that's why he was able to make a statement like this. When you think of Isaiah, he had a life that was, it had its turmoils and things like that. But he had experienced some kind of tranquility, some kind of peace. He had experienced the lack of anxiety over all the turmoil that he was going through. And so he was able to make a statement like this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Life comes to us in all kind of forms. We ask ourselves, what is life all about? What is it that brings me peace? What is it that brings me calm? Why is it sometime I'm in turmoil? You know, we're here this morning coming from different walks of life. I'm looking over at you and I'm seeing different age groups, you know, all different type of age groups. And there are times when we reflect upon the life that we live, the times that have passed. For some people, they come to the conclusion that life is not what I'm expecting it to be. And as you are seated here and I'm looking at you, some, you know, in the 50s, some 40s, some teenagers, some 70s over, whatever. And there are times when you might have said to yourself, am I really satisfied with life? There are times for reflection. I remember some time ago, after I'd just come to this country, and I was celebrating my 40th birthday. The people at the office, they got together and gave me a card. It was a humorous card. What it depicted was, on the front, you look at it, and you saw a king climbing a hill with, I would say, a few choice soldiers with him. But he got the impression that he was ready to capture this hill, so to speak. And as he climbed up, you turned a page, and it said, you're over the hill. And what it depicted was the king and all his men just falling over the hill, going down. But what is life? You ask yourself, what has it done for me? What have I gotten from it? What has it left for me? What do you think of it? Some of us have experienced having children. We have experienced having grandchildren. We have experienced life in such a way that we can say, I'm enjoying it. But for others, there's always the question, what does it mean to me? Some people enjoying life, they're able to sit comfortably financially. For others, they worry about when the next paycheck is coming, or you know, if they'll be able to endure to the end of the month, that so to speak. Life comes to us in all kind of forms. And as we go through life, as I said, the older you get, there are times when you sit down and just think about it, reflect upon it. I want you this morning to be just doing that as we think about life. You see, there's a time for reflection. Because life is not just taking air in and breathing it out again. There is more to life. There's that part of life that you can't touch it. You can't feel it. But you know it's there. You know it's there because it's your life. And that's the part that is interesting. That's the part that causes us to wonder about life. It's the spiritual part. It's a part, like I said, you can't touch. It's the part that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he wasn't talking about just breathing air in and breathing air out. He was talking about the important aspect of life. The quality of life is important. And as I said, it's that intangible part of life that you can't put your finger on. John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not seen life, or hath not life. You see, we believe the Bible in what it says. We believe the Bible to be the written word of God. We believe that God is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God the Father sent his Son to redeem man back to himself because man is sin. The Lord Jesus Christ promised us that he can give us life. Give us life and give us life more abundantly. The beauty about this is not just the prospect of eternal life, but the fact that once you begin this process of eternal life, life is taken on different meaning. Life takes on purpose. Life takes on reality, so to speak. Those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept this fact, those who have come to know him recognize that there's beauty in life. Life is beautiful because we know him. The Lord Jesus Christ said when he was speaking to his disciples, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, there's no other way to come to God but through him. I am the way. He said, I am the truth. What is truth? This is a thing that mankind has been trying to find an answer to. Jesus said, I am the truth. And I think, what is truth? Truth is the fact that the Creator made man for his purpose, man to worship him. And mankind has gone astray. We have gone astray from the God who created us to serve him. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way to bring you back to God. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's safe to conclude then that man exists in two spheres. Those who have life and those who haven't got life. You might be saying, but I have life and I'm enjoying life. But God's word, the scriptures, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. Two spheres, two ways, two paths to get to him. Two paths that exist for man, that is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, the Lord says, enter ye into straight gate, because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and few there be that find it. Enter in at the straight gate. You know, that word is straight, is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, which means narrow. This is what it means. Enter into God through the narrow way. It says, in verse, let me turn to it because I'm not quoting it right. It's Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, 14. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or narrow is the gate, and the narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A broad way and a narrow way to life. That's what life is. I want to ask you, which way are you on? Which path are you on? Are you on that narrow path, or are you on that wide path? He describes the wide path as leading to destruction. And I venture to say, if you're on the path that leads to destruction, this is one of the reasons why life has all these questions that are not being answered in your life. You ask yourself, am I on the narrow path or am I on the wide path? What is life to me? Is it a climb? Is it a struggle? Am I happy or am I unhappy?
unhappy to the extent that it's bordering on just being miserable. You know, in my late teens, back in Jamaica, I became enamored with John W. Peterson. Now, John W. Peterson died about, I think, in 2006. But he was a man in the late 60s and 70s who wrote a number of songs. The songs that we sing, songs like, I mean, It Took a Miracle to Put the Stars in Place. It Only Takes a Spark. Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Coming Again. Songs like these that we love. John W. Peterson wrote, it says, over 1,000 songs. And he wrote a lot of cantatas. But there's one particular song that really, if I may say, I don't know if I use this term, it kind of tickled my fancy. A song that I really enjoyed singing. And, you know, people like Joy, Judith, who used to attend Teen Time camps, the Teen Time group used to sing this song. It says, life is a symphony. Since the man of Galilee changed my discord into song. Life is a symphony. Since the Lord of Calvary, I'm forgetting the words now. Life is a symphony. Since the man of Calvary changed my discord into song. No more a stranger, he is the arranger of my symphony. Life being described as a symphony. When you think of what a symphony is, it is I wrote it down here, the harmonious mingling of sounds. You know, various instruments putting together and performing or giving beautiful music. You know, I was talking the other day to a friend, and he was talking about the difference between an orchestra and a band. And one of the things about an orchestra is the fact that you have a conductor. A conductor who leads the symphony, and it's just real good music. It's the top of the class, so to speak. Life is a symphony. For Don W. Peterson, God has changed his life. He changed his discord into song. And he said, that man of Galilee is no more a stranger. In other words, John W. Peterson had gotten to know him. No more a stranger, he is the arranger of my symphony. In other words, he had changed his discord. His life was discord. His life was a mess. There was no unity in what was happening in his life. Everything was a total mess. Nothing was in tune. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know what type of life you're living. I don't know if you're finding peace in your life. But this morning, I want you to reflect upon that. As you listen to the words of this song that John W. Peterson wrote, he says, first of all, he says, the man of Galilee changed my discord into song. And then he said, the Lord of Calvary, no more a stranger, he is the arranger of my symphony. The Lord of Calvary. You see, this is how he was able to be in the position to change your life. The Lord of Calvary. He went to Calvary, gave himself as a perfect sacrifice such that you and I might have life. Singing is a result of a settled experience, a settled heart. There are various kinds of songs. I remember as a little boy, we used to sing Negro spirituals. We hardly hear about this. We hardly use that word anymore or use that word to describe these kinds of songs. But when you think of slavery, and when you think of what these people went through, and they looked upon life, this was their life. To be beaten, to be mistreated. But in all of these, in all of this, they could sing songs. Typically, it was nobody knows the trouble I see. But that person who was singing that song could say, glory, hallelujah. Because God was in him. He felt God was with him, by him, right beside him, in him. To be able to have the Lord Jesus Christ conducting your life and leading your life. This is why he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is why John, who had spent so much time with the Lord Jesus Christ, could write, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's a position that you must answer, that you must reflect on. Where is my life today? Am I pleasing the one who made me for the purpose, the truth, that of serving your Creator? It's something that we have to think about. Now, John W. Peter said, my life is given harmonious symphonic rendition of beautiful music. That's what my life is. The Gators sing a song that says, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. God wants to do this in you. And whether you're outside of him, whether you know him, that's what he wants. The beautiful life in every single individual. Life is not just breathing air in and breathing it out. It's a relationship with God. And if you don't have that relationship with God, you haven't. You're not living. You ask a question. Is your life beautiful? Is your life a symphony? Are you truly happy? Is life satisfying? Am I living the abundant life? Because this aspect of life is spiritual, it's something you can't fake. You know, you might go through life with a smile on your face and everybody says, man, that's a beautiful guy, or that's a lovely lady, or whatever. That's somebody that is always oozing, you know, he's looking good and all this other stuff. But deep down, the satisfaction is not there. Deep down, the thing that you're hoping for in life is not there. And your facial, you know, expression is not reflective of what exactly is going on inside. I like to say that this constant lack of fulfillment, it gnaws at the psyche. It gnaws at you. It gnaws at the real you. And after a while, life becomes miserable. You're not really being satisfied with life. For the believer, there's something about having faith and hope in Jesus Christ. And this is what's important, if I might just address those who really know the Lord as Savior. It's important to have this hope, to have a hope that is not just a figment of your imagination, but something that is real. Having faith and hope in Jesus Christ is what's important. to know your position in Him. The type of thing that happens is that when you are alone, you just, when you're with people, when you're with others and there's joy and laity and everybody's enjoying themselves and all this other thing, it's good and you enjoy life. You say this is beautiful. But when you get by yourself and reflect upon circumstances, reflect upon what's going on around you, you need to have that peace. You need to have that whatever it is that is causing you to go on. And I'll tell you what things are going on in this world. Those of us who know the Lord, those of us who stand upon our faith in Christ, with what's going on around us, we have to wonder, where will it all end? There's so much persecution, not really affecting us in the United States, but in other parts of the world. Where to stand up for your faith is really taking a toll on those who want to stand up for the Lord. We need to exercise our faith and our commitment in Him, knowing that these things will not deter us, knowing that we can trust Him because He's there for us. That verse we had this morning, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. It's not just today I'm enjoying it, tomorrow, today I'm with Him, tomorrow I'm, people have to question your spiritual life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. I like the authorized version, how they use certain words, you know, because you read this particular verse somewhere else and they're not going to use the word stayed. But it's a way of really, I think, helping you to understand what it means to stick to the Lord. You know, some time ago in college, I hope I have the time to say this, but I remember there was construction going on and they were putting up a supersized dome. Just a dome, steel dome, to cover bauxite, red dirt. But because of the construction of this thing, it the stability is really, really questionable. And so in constructing it, you have to construct it a certain way. And they had just gotten up, I think, three, what do you call them, columns or piers. And because they weren't anchored properly, because they didn't have the right guy wires or the right stays, the wind caught it after three pylons were up and it just twisted right around and came crashing down. I thought of that a while ago just because of the fact that when the Bible talks about keeping your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse has been my stay. It has been my anchor. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. That's where the crux of the matter is. God will keep you firm and committed to him on the conditions that you trust him, that you believe what he says, that we put our confidence in him. But the fact is, we have to keep it constant. We need to keep our minds stayed on him. I'd like to say emphatically that the state of a man's mind will determine his outlook on life. The state of a person's mind is going to determine his outlook on life. I can rejoice in my circumstances because I know my God is in control. I can rejoice in the fact that things are not going good about me because I know my God holds the future. My God holds everything in this world. He's the God of this universe and He's mine. It's for each one of us to be confident about this. And as the scripture says, if you don't know Him, you can't trust Him. How can you trust somebody who you don't know? He that hath the Son. What does it mean to have the Son? He that hath the Son hath life. He who has come to the point that he recognizes that life is nothing without the person who made it in the first place. Come to know Him. Come to trust Him. He will give you life. He said you'll have it more abundantly, and that means now. Life with a purpose, life with a meaning. But the great thing about it, eternal life. To be with Him. To be with Him forever. The state of a man's mind will determine his outlook on life. Am I waking up in the morning wondering, another day today, what's going to be like? Or am I looking for the opportunity to keep praising my Lord? I can face it because I have, as we say in Jamaica, back it in. I have somebody behind me. I have somebody with me. And the beauty about it, because this is all spiritual, I have somebody in me. That's the beauty about it. That's the difference about having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hope. Being able to trust Him. Being able to recognize that this is not just superficial. It's real. And it's the reality that matters. Hope that will stay with me when the hilarity and the fun with other people, when they're gone, I have somebody I can lean on. I have somebody who's within me. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, I joined what I call a Cub Scouts. I was a little Cub Scout. And we used to sing a song. It says, pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. What's the use of worrying? It sure ain't worth your while. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. You know, that song was written by a guy named George Powell in England. George Powell was a comedian. And he wrote the song. And the song became very popular because it's one of the things that helped those guys in World War II to go to battle. And they used to sing that song all the time. And people sing it, you know. But you talk about hope. We're told that George Powell, one night after finishing his comedic trip, went into the dressing room and just blew his brains out. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. It takes more than just saying it. It's got to come from real down. You can pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile when you know the Lord is with you. We got to have hope. We got to have trust. You know, my time is going, but I wanted to... And I still have 5 minutes or so. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a passage in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll read through quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. I'll just read verse 16 and 18, down to 18. Paul is writing to, let me go through it. Verse 14. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom he be thou weary also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And then he says in verse 16, at my first answer, or my first trial, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, writing to encourage this young pastor, Timothy, a letter of exhortation and a letter of helping Timothy to understand the position that he had in Christ. And he was talking from his own experience. So he felt at his first trial that there was nobody with him. He was alone. If you think about what happened in Acts, about when Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and as he talked about Alexander the coppersmith, did him much harm. He said, nobody stood by me. Nobody stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And then he goes on in confidence that the Lord will continue to deliver him. The Lord will continue to be with him. You see, when we read scripture like this is just one individual. When we read scripture like these, we can have confidence knowing that the Lord is with us. Paul said, nobody stood by me. All these other people who we were preaching and all this other thing, when it came to the trial, I was alone. But God was with me. Here's another verse. We haven't got much time. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David says, I think I can find it quickly. And I'm going to read the whole verse. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David and his men had gone out chasing the enemy. The enemy went around, went back to the camp, and killed all the people, took the ladies captive, killed all the men that were there, the older men and all that. And when they came back and saw the devastation, the people thought of stoning David. The scripture says, but David encouraged himself in his God. We're going through life. Life is full of a lot of ups and downs. But the Lord is there with us. Over in John chapter 15, in verse 11, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he was about to leave them and he was encouraging them. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That my joy might remain in you, and that it might be full. You know, I think can't be, you know, if it's 7/8 full, it's not full. 15/16 full, you might say it's full, that's a way of speaking, but technically, it's not full. He's saying that your joy might be full, full. The extent at which it might occupy whatever it is that it's to occupy. These things have I spoken unto you. God's word is for us to absorb. Hold on to it. Be confident in what it says. That your joy might be full. That my joy might remain in you. And that it might be full. Life for you is still questionable. You're not enjoying what it has to offer. It's because you haven't had a son. You need to come to know him. He's willing. He's willing to answer your requests. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be a part of him. He wants you to enjoy life. I trust if you don't know him, you'll come to know him this morning. And if you do know him, have that full joy. Have that peace. Keep your mind stayed on him and enjoy life. Life is beautiful. Life is a symphony. Since the man of Calvary changed my discord into song. Now life's sweet the whole day long. Listen, God is good. Let's praise him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. Thank you, dear Father, for your Holy Spirit, which your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand what you have to say to us. Lord, for those of us who know you this morning, may we be so compelled, dear Father, to keep our minds stayed on you, for you to be our focus, for you to have the preeminent part, the preeminent place in our life. Lord, should there be one here that don't know you as Savior, we pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will deal with this individual, that he or she might recognize the importance of having you in his or her life. Father, have your own way with us this morning. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. We're saying good day.